Today we're going to be in the book of Luke again, right where we left off this morning, Luke chapter 24. We're going to carry on and finish the rest of the story. Luke chapter 24, this morning we looked at verses 13 through 35, and so we're going to pick up at verse number 36. Now remember, in the first section, the two men had been walking on the road to Emmaus, and they talked with Jesus, and Jesus broke the bread, and they saw who he was, and he disappeared out of their sight, and they rushed back to Jerusalem to tell all their friends that they had seen the risen Jesus. And now they are there in the room with all their friends in Jerusalem. There's the 11 disciples and the rest of the believers that are there. They're all excited. They're talking. They're listening to the story. They're hearing what these guys are saying about all of the fantastic events that had taken place during the day. And as we begin in verse number 36, it says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do you thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Garrett, would you shut that back door? Those birds are making so much noise that it's going to be a distraction on the tape, a distraction for us as well. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 3, we read this. It says, "To whom also he, Jesus, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." This morning we examined how they walked with Jesus and on the road to Emmaus. Now tonight we're going to see how Jesus came and spent time with them in the upper room and was fellowshipping with them. And he gave them, in this section alone, we find 8 infallible proofs. Infallible means something that can't be proven wrong. These are infallible proofs, 8 different infallible proofs that will strengthen our faith. I hope it'll really help us. You know, the devil sometimes comes and tries to tempt us to doubt and to think, well, maybe it's not all true. These are things that will help us and strengthen our faith. And so, mark them down, these 8 infallible proofs. The number one we find in verse number 36. The believers saw Jesus. Verse number 36, "And when they, as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and he saith unto them, Peace be unto you." They saw Jesus. That with their own eyes, he stood there in the midst of them. He appeared unto them. You know, he just appeared out of nowhere. You can imagine, they're all sitting around talking, and they're excited. They're listening to the stories of Cleophas and his friend, and they're discussing it and what happened. And tell me some more about this. What else? What did he say about this? And tell us about this. And all of a sudden, right there in the middle of them is Jesus. And they go, Who are you? And Jesus said, "Peace be unto you. It's me." And they saw Jesus right there in front of them. He was immortal, and he was able to stand before them. He was right there in their midst. Now, with this new body that he had, he defied the laws of nature. He was able to come right there and appear. And then he was able to disappear. And yet, he had a body that could be touched. That is something that's kind of mind-boggling, to think that he could just appear and disappear, and yet he said, "Go ahead and touch me. I got flesh and bone." And so he was had a body, this immortal body was not subject to the laws of nature. And the believers saw him with their own eyes. They saw him clearly. They could see that this was not a spirit. You can't see a spirit. A spirit is just kind of a fog or a dust or a mist. But he was there. They could see him. And before this, it was just one or two of the believers that had claimed to see Jesus. Now the whole group saw him. All right, before, you remember, it was just a couple of the ladies, and then maybe Peter, and then the other two guys said, yeah, we saw him on the road. And then now the whole group sees him. Jesus is right there in the midst of them. So this is the first infallible proof. They saw him with their eyes. You know, sometimes people say, seeing is believing. You know, I saw it. I know what I saw. He was there. And so that was the first infallible proof. The second infallible proof is they heard him. There in verse 36 again, he said unto them, peace be unto you. They heard him. All right? So he spoke to them. They heard the words come from his mouth. And then that evening, he went on and talked to them and explained many things to them. So during that evening, they heard Jesus speak. So the first infallible proof was that they saw him. The second one is they heard him. They heard the words from his mouth. It was not a secondhand report. It was not something that someone told them. They heard Jesus. And no doubt, they probably recognized his voice. You know, everybody's voice has a unique sound. And, you know, when you get a phone call and somebody talks on the other end, they may try to fool you, but if you recognize their voice, you know, hey, I know this guy. All right? I've had friends do that to me. They call me up and they start acting like they're a salesperson. I remember not too long ago, some friends did that, called me up and acted like he was just somebody that was interested in our church and was asking questions about our church. And I said, I think I know this guy. You know, and before long, he asked me some silly question. I said, yeah, I know you. I know who you are. But you can recognize their voice. All right? And so no doubt they recognized Jesus' voice as well as he was talking to them, and they knew that he was alive. So the first one was that he saw him. Second, that they heard him. Number three, we find in verse number 39, that he invited them to touch him. Verse 39 says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I. Handle me and see. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. All right, so Jesus invited them to touch him. And he asked them two questions. He says, why are you troubled? All right, we saw that in verse 37. He says, they were terrified. And they thought they saw a spirit. And he said in verse 38, why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts rise in your hearts? He was asking them, why are you troubled? You can see me. But he knew that they were afraid that he was a ghost. But he was saying, listen, I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. I'm a real person. The word troubled there is an interesting word. It means to be agitated or tossed back and forth or filled with commotion. It's kind of like what takes place in a washing machine when you turn it on and the water sloshing back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And that's kind of the thoughts in their mind is, well, what is this? Is this it? Was it really Jesus? Well, it looks like Jesus. Was it really? And they're back and forth and back and forth in their thoughts. Jesus, why are you troubled like that? And he says, why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? The word thoughts there is questionings about what is true. That's what the word thoughts there means. He says, why are you questioning whether this is true, whether you're really seeing me or not? Why are you wondering if it's really me? It is me. He says, touch me and see. You can touch me. Go ahead, touch my hands. It's me. I got flesh and bone like you. I'm alive. And so Jesus was convincing them with this. John's gospel gives us further details in John chapter 20, verse number 19. John 20, 19 says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and says unto them, peace be unto you. So John emphasized the fact that the doors were shut. And you can be sure they were scared of the Jews. So they weren't just shut, they were locked. They were making sure nobody's going to get in there. And all of a sudden Jesus is there. And they just freak out and panic because someone else is in the room with them. And who is this guy? And it looks like Jesus, but he just appeared. He just was there and he wasn't there a moment ago. And Jesus told them that he had flesh and bones and invited them to touch him. Now, the believers saw his frame. They saw the frame of his body. They saw that. They could feel him. Now, whether they actually reached out and touched him, we don't know for sure from Scripture, but my guess is they probably did. They probably all came up to him and said, oh, yeah, it is you, Jesus. They felt his hands, and maybe they shook his hands or touched him in some way. They knew, and they could see his structure. They could see the very fact that he was standing. If we didn't have bones, our body wouldn't be able to stand up. Our bones hold us upright. If we lost all of our bones, we'd just be kind of a pile of mush and couldn't stand up, couldn't do anything. But we need those bones. But they saw him standing before them, so they knew that there was structure to him. He wasn't just a spirit. It was real. And so the third one is that Jesus had flesh and bone. Didn't say anything about blood. It's interesting. His new body, I don't believe, had blood in it, but it had flesh and bone. It was immortal. It didn't need the blood. The blood is the life of the flesh, isn't the blood. He didn't need that because he had an immortal body. It wasn't the mortal body that requires blood to keep it alive. And so it was unique, but it was a body that had flesh and bone. We find number five, infallible proof. Sorry about that. The infallible proof number five is that the believers saw Jesus' wounds. Verse number 40. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. You know, why would he show his hands and his feet? Well, his hands had the nail holes in them. His feet had nail holes in them. And showing them his hands and his feet, you know, he could have said, come and touch my face. He could have said, you know, look at my leg. He didn't. He said, look at my hands and my feet. My hands and my feet are evidence. There's scars there where the nails went through my hands. There's scars on my feet where the nails went through my feet. And they could see that. And it was evidence to them. It was a proof to them that Jesus Christ was really the one standing before them. Obviously, the wounds had all healed up by this time. Now, nothing said about all the lashes that he got on his back. His back was beaten with the whip severely. He had been punched in the face. You know, I mean, in a normal situation. I mean, his eyes were probably black and blue. His whole face was probably mutilated from the beating. And 3 days later, usually that wouldn't be gone. But nothing's mentioned about that. He had been healed. Obviously, he'd resurrected from the dead. So he had a healed and resurrected body. But he still had the scars in his hands and his feet to show them. And so the disciples could see that in his hands and his feet. And they could look at those things. Now, remember what the evidence that Thomas required. He said, unless I can see the nail prints. He says in John chapter 20, verse number 25, says, the other disciples therefore said unto Thomas, we have seen the Lord. And he said unto them, except I see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So Thomas wanted to see it. And Jesus, when he did see Thomas, he said, Thomas, go ahead. Look at it. Put your finger there. Come on, Thomas. Touch me. Look at my side. And so he showed Thomas. And Thomas was looking for that. But this was an evidence of the resurrected Jesus. That Jesus was really, truly alive. And he was the same one that had been crucified. Right? So it wasn't some different person that kind of looks like Jesus and kind of says he's Jesus. He was the same one. He was the same being. So the first one was that they saw him. Secondly, they heard him. Thirdly, they touched him. Fourth, he had flesh and bones that they could feel and see. And number five, they saw the wounds in Jesus' hands and his feet. Number six, the believers saw Jesus eat. Now, look at verse number 41. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye any meat? All right, this little phrase, have ye any meat? The word meat there does not mean beef or pork or some other meat. It refers to food. And this word is one that is only used one time in the whole Bible, right here. The only time the word is used, it means, literally, it means edibles. Do you have anything that is edible? All right, so Jesus was just asking them, is there anything that you have that is edible? I'll show you that I can eat. All right, so that's what this one word, the only time it's used in the Bible is the word here. Do you have any edibles? And they came up with a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. So he's got this broiled fish and a piece of honeycomb. And he said, all right, watch. Can a spirit do this? And he took it and ate it right in front of them. And they go, wow, I guess he's not a spirit. He is alive. He ate it and swallowed it. And, you know, it still defies nature to think that he could just walk through the wall, but he just ate that fish. Where'd they go? I don't know. But Jesus was able to do that. He had an immortal body. And so evidently, the immortal body was capable of eating. It was capable of, it had flesh and bone. You could touch it. You could feel it. It could stand there before you. The immortal body that Jesus had was very unique. And so he was able to eat before them. And he ate that fish and honeycomb before them. And so this is another one of the infallible proofs. Number 7, he reasoned with them. Look at verse number 44. Verse 44 says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Here we find him reasoning with the disciples, especially in verse number 44. He says to them, do you remember the words that I said unto you? He was reminding them of the things that he had talked to them about before. And again, as I mentioned this morning, he talks about Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. All right, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. So Moses is the first 5 books. The prophets were the rest of the books except for the Psalms. The Psalms were in a category of their own. Now, whether the Psalms included the poetic books like Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, or whether it was just the Psalms themselves, I don't know, and it doesn't really matter. But it's referring to the entire Old Testament here, Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And Jesus spake to them about those. And he said that I have fulfilled those things that were written in those laws. They were those things that were written about me. And the things that he had talked to the Cleophas and his friend about on the road to the Emmaus, he says, I fulfilled all that. All those prophecies that I spoke of and that are written in the Old Testament, I fulfilled them. And so he explained those things to them. So here's Jesus reasoning with them. Again, it's not something that a ghost does. It isn't something that your imagination does. Here's a person, a being, standing before them that is able to reason, able to talk to them, able to remind them of things that he had said before, able to recall things that he had said before, able to teach them from the scriptures, able to open up the scriptures and say, this is what the scripture says about me. I fulfilled that. And so he was able to reason with them and teach them. This is, again, something that only a real living being can do. And so Jesus was alive, no question about it. Then the number 8, before I go into number 8, we see in verse number 46 that Jesus said, thus it is written and thus it behooved Christ. That word behooved, and I want you to understand what it means. It's a word that means it is necessary. It is necessary. All right, so this the same or similar word that we saw back in 26 where it says, ought not Christ to have suffered? Here it says it behooved Christ to be suffered. It means it was necessary. It was not an option. It was something that had to be in order to provide salvation for us. It was necessary that Christ would suffer for us. And then we find in the number 8 proof is that it enlightened them. Jesus Christ enlightened them. And we see this in verse number 45, and he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Up to this point, they were just saying, boy, I don't get it. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. And Jesus opened their understanding so they could understand the scriptures. Now, that tells me a couple of things. First of all, it tells me that it was something unique that Jesus did. It was not a spirit that did this to him. Jesus did this to him. He helped them understand. But not only that, but it tells me there that he is able to open my understanding. When I have a hard time understanding something, I can pray and say, God, would you please help me understand this passage? I do not understand it. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So when you find a verse that's hard to understand and you just cannot grasp it, then just spend time with God in prayer and pore over it and study it and ask him to help you understand it, because he's able to. He's able to help us understand the scriptures. And one of the places in the scriptures that tells us that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15 right about in verse 15. Let me see here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about the Holy Spirit giving us understanding in spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 13 says, "Which things also we speak, not in words of which man's wisdom teacheth, but in which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, but because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man." So he's talking about here how the Scripture is spiritually discerned. We can only understand it by the help of the Holy Spirit of God. And God gives us that understanding. Now that we have the Holy Spirit. Now these disciples didn't have the Spirit of God yet. Remember that. It didn't come until Pentecost. So this is before Pentecost. But Jesus opened their understanding. Now the Holy Spirit will help us understand the Scriptures. If we'll come to Him and say, "Please, Lord, I want to understand this. I'm struggling. I can't get it. Please help me to understand." God will help us to understand things. Now there's still some Scriptures that are kind of mind-boggling. Some that are deep, some that are hard to understand. But we can gain what God wants us to understand about it if we'll just spend time with Him and say, "Lord, please open my mind." And they now also, as I pointed out this morning, they now understood the gospel. That was the neatest thing. Because in the prior to this, they were looking for the Messiah that would set them free from Rome. Now they understood that Jesus' purpose for coming was not to set them free from Rome, but to set them free from sin and to give them forgiveness of sins. And that's why Jesus emphasizes here that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. He says, now you know the truth. You understand the truth of the gospel. Now you've got a job to do. You need to take it out and tell the world. And He says, you are witnesses of these things. So these disciples, the 11 that were left, and then all the others that were there, He said, you have a job to do to take this word out to the world and tell them about what you know about the Messiah being the Savior of the world. It wasn't just Jesus is alive, but Jesus is alive to save you from your judgment of hell. Jesus paid the debt for us. They understood the gospel clearly now. And so we see that as our duty to share the gospel with others. And the disciples saw that now. So we see these eight infallible proofs that Jesus is alive. And as we think on these things, they saw Him, they heard Him, they touched Him, they felt His flesh and bone, they saw His wounds, they saw Him eat in front of them. They were there when He reasoned with them, talked to them, taught them, discussed things with them, and then He enlightened them. He opened their eyes and helped them to see things that they couldn't see. Their eyes had been blinded and their minds had been blinded toward the Old Testament. They couldn't grasp it. They couldn't get it. How was the Messiah of the Old Testament, this what Christ just went through, how was that fit? We're not thinking that way. And Christ opened their eyes so they could see that. And so He enlightened them. And so these eight proofs are there to help us. Now, how can that help us in our daily walk? Well, you know, as Satan comes and tries to tempt us to doubt, you know, there are times that Satan comes even to me and says, you know, that all that stuff you believe is a bunch of foolishness. It's not true. These are things that will help us to realize this was not just one person that saw them. It was not just 12 people that saw them. It was a bunch of people that saw Him. We know that there was at least, right? There was at least the 11 and others. We don't know how many others were. And the two guys that were walking on the road to Emmaus. So there's at least 11 and then two, that's 13. And then there's others. So there had to have been at least two or three more than that, or else there wouldn't be others. Probably many more than that. We know that as they were continuing to meet together on the day of Pentecost, there was about 120 of them. Whether there was that many or not here, I don't know. But there were others. So you had this group of people, a whole group of people that saw Jesus. They heard Jesus. They felt Jesus. They looked at Jesus. He reasoned with them. They were enlightened by Him. All of these things helped them to see this is the resurrected Jesus. He is alive. He is genuinely alive. And He is the one who came to life to save our souls. And that is the message that we really need to share with others. You know, people need to know that Jesus is alive. He came to life to give us eternal life, to give us the salvation that we need. He didn't save us from the Romans. He didn't save the Jews from the Romans. He saved them from their sin. And that is what the message of the gospel is about. And so tonight, as we think on these things, when Satan brings doubt into our minds, think on these things. And remember these 8 infallible proofs that Jesus Christ really, truly is alive. When somebody says, I don't believe that Jesus really resurrected from the dead, you know, they've got to crawl over the fact that there's all this evidence. And, you know, even in a court of law today, if you've got all these people that are evidence, say, I was there, I saw it, I heard it, I touched it, I have, there would be no question. They'd say, absolutely, that is true. And so we have the proof that who Jesus really was and that he was alive. And so tonight, think on these things. Not a long message, but a message that I hope can be an encouragement to us and a help to us and help us focus on the good things as we think about this wonderful day, the Lord's Resurrection Day.